Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, listener dear. Stay low to the ground. Listen, quick, gather in. I'm Tom.
I'm Matthew.
I'm Ben.
And listen, the danger's past.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
What a bit of fun.
Good to know.
Yeah, so here we are. It's Pappies. We're in your ear canal, where we are pleased to announce
the danger has passed.
Oh,
danger has passed, lovely. Guys. Yes.
That's There's it. We no saw danger. Off the earwig.
That's our job. We patrol the ear canal, fighting earwigs.
Tom's in the left, me and Matthew in the right.
You've banished me to the other
ear of course.
Canal.
We can see you, though.
Can you smell me?
Always.
I can always smell you. You smell very waxy. Just too much time in the ear canal, basically.
This is like The Matrix. We're these podcasting pioneers, and we fight these earwigs who come along every so often. Then we have to stop broadcasting.
I don't think I've seen the same Matrix as you.
I also don't think we're podcasting pioneers.
Oh. That's, I mean, just something I'm trying to get going.
I know, you've been saying this quite a lot to people in, well, strangers mainly.
We invented the podcast, didn't we?
Not exactly, no. But we are currently suing a lot of people who have podcasts claiming that we did.
Right, yes, bold.
We're a paper troll.
Anyway, listener dear, listen up. Your ear canal is danger-free. The earwigs have gone to bed. And we are here with another house meeting. Hooray!
Hooray!
This earwig thing's really thrown you, hasn't it?
Yeah, I'm really confused by it. But welcome to the show.
Okay, well, welcome to the show. We're ready to whip crack away, are we?
Yes, let's get cracking. How did this one begin?
This started with a chat about parties, was it?
Absolutely. You know we love to party.
Everybody does.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What temperature should we set the heat?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Why on earth am I always weeping?
House meeting. Meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
Welcome, guys.
Oh,
the podmaster's here.
Nobody expected Clarky to come in with a welcome, guys.
To welcoming us all to our own podcast.
Welcome. Well, welcome to my flat. That's what I meant.
Oh, that's true. Oh,
I see.
This is a rare...
our flat, because, of course, we all do actually live
together. I was going to say, we're going to come clean about recording in Clarky's flat. What's that?
Well, we just call each other's rooms our own flats.
Right, right.
I mean, that's more complicated than it needs to be. I think it's fair. So thank you very much for having us round your flat to record the podcast, Clark.
You're very welcome, guys. Help yourself to furniture.
Some nice photo frames around. They're yours, if you want them.
Do you do dinner parties?
Not really.
Do you do dinner parties?
But you're not coming round.
That's what I was aiming for.
Yeah. I do dinner parties, actually. Thank you very much.
Are you good at dinner parties?
I'm okay at dinner parties, yeah. I'm a sort of reasonable cook. I think I can cook okay, which I think is part of it. I've got board games. You know, I always like to play a board game after
Is board games part of dinner parties?
Yeah. We'll play like Linky or something like that.
Okay.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
I mean, we had you guys over for Christmas, but that was more...
That wasn't a dinner party, was it?
Buffet, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was...
A ridiculous amount of buffet.
That was a Christmas party. I think that's a separate thing. We were having drinks and we were wandering around and, you know, singing carols, but it doesn't count as a dinner party.
We're at a dinner party age, right? We've gone through to the dinner party age.
Well, should this have been a dinner party podcast? Should I put on...
Well, it's...
That's
it's,
the birthday girls, mate.
Is that what they do?
The problem is as well, it's 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So that's not ideal, is it, for a dinner party?
Roast. What are the ages of parties?
So here we go, Tom. The question is though, if you're not being invited to dinner parties,
yeah.
Then you're not in the dinner party age.
That
I think.
Or,
I think
or is it just that I'm an unpopular person?
It could be. It's a little from column A, a little from column B. I don't think there's ever a certain age, because there are some people, you know, much younger than you, and no offence, who are already doing dinner parties.
Really?
Yeah.
The kids are onto dinner parties.
Well, I mean, Crosby's doing them, and he's a similar age to us.
That's true. I've been doing them.
So it's more about constitution.
As in, like, can you stomach a dinner party?
I was going to say.
Yeah, it's more about constitution.
I think people look at you and they think, party, party.
Yeah.
Not dinner party.
I'm still house party. That's where I'm at, right? I'm still house... I'm in the house party era.
When, what was the last house party you were invited to?
If you're going
to
throw... Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, because here's the thing. I think, despite the fact that your name, your surname, very close to party. On autocorrect, it's always party.
Yeah.
But...
good reason. Birthday?
Go on, what's the good reason?
That I party all the time.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. You can't tell me which part... What's the last party you went to?
No, I can't. I don't know. I don't know if, like, I think I'm just at an age now where, like, house parties used to be, like, major events.
Sure.
Now they're just a way of life. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, so you just go to them, but you forget all about them.
Always be partying.
Always be partying.
Birthday party.
So you're saying anytime you're in your house, you're at a house party. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Obviously.
Your house is a permanent party.
Yeah.
And how does that manifest itself?
I'm sick on the front room carpet.
I think you just might be ill. I think you might just have an illness.
But just an alcohol problem.
Yeah. So, and I don't think you can ever say this is of a certain age.
Oh, hold on then. Well, so hold on though. There's got to be a requisite amount of people for a party. You can't have two people and go, this is a party. Like,
No. I didn't say number. I said age.
Okay.
I don't think it's about... I don't think it's an age thing, is it? The age you are determines what party you're at.
You can't have a house party until you're...
You're going to say something like 17?
No.
Go on. What are you going to say?
Like 14.
14?
So that...
Oh, okay. So, but it's that's parents being away, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's, as soon as your parents are away...
It's a house party.
And then when does a house party end, in your estimation?
When you start serving food...
Yes, no, but I mean, when does the...
Then it becomes a gathering or a dinner party. But they're the stages, right? You have birthday party first.
Yeah.
And your life is full... Do you remember, when you were a kid, your life was full of birthday parties.
Oh, yeah.
It's like every other weekend. You can't move for birthday parties.
Yeah.
Then it becomes house parties.
Yeah.
Every other weekend. Can't move for house parties.
Okay.
Now, at some point, house parties become gatherings. And then gatherings graduate to dinner parties. Okay,
well, I always thought like a gathering was the kind of hinterland between kind of just hanging out and
actually doing something,
actually having a house party. Because I've had gatherings that I've sweared that have turned into house parties.
Yes, that's true. You can do that.
So that's legit.
And is that a number of people?
Is that a number of people? And I think the kind of the nature of the party when it gets more raucous, then it beer pong comes out. Suddenly you're at
so it's a house party. Yes, that's true.
It's not a gathering.
That's
anymore.
Very true. You also go through the other stage, which is lots of weddings. That they you know, in the same way you would have had birthday parties on the weekends, now all your friends get married, you go to load of weddings. Yeah. The other thing that's starting to happen now is you're going to other people's children's birthday parties. That's happening for me.
It comes back around. You're back into the birthday party
circuit. So what's happening now is I've been to a few of my friends have just had babies, and so I've been to a few first birthday parties in the last year or so.
Do the parents all get lash up?
No. Why would the parents get a lash up?
You're not getting invited to those either, are you?
You've got a one-year-old requires a lot of work, right? You can't just get a lash up. You can't play beer pong with a toddler.
Yeah, but while they're playing on their mats or whatever.
Stick them on the mats, get lash up.
Yeah, but the second...
Listen, Mad Men.
The second they... I wouldn't say Mad Men is a documentary on good parenting, Thomas.
Crack open a couple of boxes of fags and let's have a birthday party.
Yes, please.
I think, no, you have to... Once the kids stop playing on the mat, You don't want to be lash up, mate.
So your background on the birthday party scene, yes. And then when your kids get older, will you be background on the house party scene as well?
I don't think. No,
that's the problem. That's what I was thinking.
You then become part of the chaperone scene, and then you become out of it completely.
The chaperone scene sounds like a good name for a band, though, doesn't it?
No, it sounds a bit creepy.
It makes a good like sitcom, maybe.
The chaperone scene.
The chaperone scene. Just kind of waiting for your kids Uber outside the places.
Oh, yeah. That's
you never see the kids. It's just the parents chatting, or you're picking them up from a club or whatever.
That's not a bad idea.
You see the kids grow up, but you only see it through the parents waiting for them places.
But that doesn't happen, does it? Like, you don't get like a school gate scene outside the Dorchester. I'd like that. But
well, that you'd probably, like, you can maybe have like a couple waiting, maybe, or just have someone on the phone.
It'd be set at a Mr. Sizzle van. Like that'd be the Wolverhampton.
That'd
equivalent.
Be good, yeah.
What was the Mr. Oh, right. So that's where you had your.
You get
your
out
hot
of the
dogs.
Dorchester and the Mr. Sizzle
by the way,
van
you
would be there.
Dorchester. When I think of the Dorchester, I'm thinking of the Dorchester in London. I was thinking, what kind of a swanky upbringing did you have?
Your
teenage club was called the Dorchester.
Yeah. And it was.
Wowee, that had delusions of grandeur, didn't
it? It was very much the opposite. It was very grotty. Carpeted throughout.
Ooh,
yes, before the disgusting. Smoke, before the smoking ban.
So it took
those smells hung around, baby.
So it took you a long time to sort of get from one side of the room to the other, just because of the tack to the floor, the stick to it. Yeah,
yeah, renowned for its sticky carpets.
And that is true, right? What happens? Just thinking about the back to the party route, the party routes is you have house party scene, you have a big house party scene, but then night out kicks in, right?
Yes,
and then suddenly house parties seem really lame. It's all about nights out. And then house party comes back around because you don't want to go out anymore and you're back on the house party scene just before dinner party.
It often corresponds with you getting your own place.
Yeah.
I think there's that thing of, so there'd be a period when you're living with your parents. They might occasionally let you have a house party. They might go away. You might have a house party against their, without them knowing. Oh. But
the Clarkie house party.
The Clarkie house party, yeah. But then.
Sorry, mum and dad.
Yeah, apologies to Alan and Louise.
I mean, it's fine. They'll never listen.
imagine if they were right here now on mic and they were just like, no worries, son. They've been there all along. What a twist!
What people don't know is that Clarkie's parents come to,
they're here
they come to every recording.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I say my flat, I mean I still live at home.
House meeting.
What's the worst thing you've considered eating?
House meeting.
So then after that, you start going out because you want to be away from the parents. And then you move into your own place. You know, maybe that's at uni, or maybe that's just your own place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then finally you can go, hey, everyone back to mine. Everyone back to mine. Have we got booze?
After party.
That's the thing. Have we got booze back at our... What have we got back at our house? And then you end up, it's 4 a.m, and you're drinking red wine out of a mug.
Yes.
And you think, why am I up?
Yeah.
Why am I awake? I can't wait till the age of dinner parties. I can't wait till the age of first birthday parties when they're over by 4 p.m.
And
then
it's triathlons.
Yeah. Then it's tough mudders.
Oh, God, then it's tough mudders and fucking pelotons.
Then wait, what's that?
What's a peloton?
Peloton is when you're...
That bird with a big beak.
Yeah, you go hunting. Biking, when you join a bike club and you the peloton's the group of bikes, isn't it, in a race.
Is that what it is? I didn't know that. That's a great word, peloton.
Yeah, so you form a peloton and out you go in your lycra.
Should we do a peloton?
I don't think I can.
Could we do? Do you
on
reckon
a tricycle?
Do you reckon we could do this on a Trandum?
Yes.
On a Trandum.
We could get the...
We tried to hire a Trandum. Do you remember that?
We tried to hire a Trandum to go over the Golden Gate Bridge one time when we were in San Francisco.
What a life we've led.
We've had a wonderful life. We've come so close to doing so many things that we didn't eventually do.
They wouldn't let us, would they?
They wouldn't let us. They said that's sort of for display. And we were like, oh, it'd be so funny to go on a Trandum all over the Golden Gate Bridge. And then it turns out we struggled on bikes.
Yeah. It's huge.
Golden Gate Bridge is long and San Francisco is a hilly motherfucker, isn't it?
You heard it here first.
Yeah, San Francisco guys, got a lot of hills, Golden Gate Bridge, really, really long. Welcome to the podcast.
Send us another city and we'll digest it for you in 20 seconds. Paris, the people are rude, the roof's on fire.
Oh, mate.
Seems about right.
Give me another one.
New York.
Start spreading the news. I peaked. Thought I was better at this game than I am.
Well, let's do it. Wolverhampton. We know about the Dorchester. We know about Mr. Sizzle.
Get to the Dorch, mate. Dorch closed.
Did the Dorch close?
Dorch closed.
We had a short run at the Dorch, really. It was only a few months before it shut, I reckon. A year tops, right?
The silence here. He's really giving you the old shoe face here. He's absolutely...
Months at the Dorch.
Turned into the beach.
Just condensed years of my life there.
How long did you think it was?
I think it was 2 years.
2 years.
I think it was 1 year.
There you go.
So,
but then I think you started going before I did, so maybe that's why.
So maybe, I tell you what.
Listener dear, if you were in the Dorchester with us, then email in to sort out this. Cracking chat.
I think the way we can resolve it, I don't want to stray into Beef Brothers territory here, but it feels like we have to. Clarky, what it sounds like, mate.
Go on.
Clarky, what it sounds like is that you're both right, because by your very point, Tom started going first. So maybe he was going for, let's say, about 12 months. Then he says, Clarky, I've got to get you into the Dorch, mate.
then you start going. Got the invite.
And then they go, oh, this place has really gone downhill. We've got to close this place. Clarky's shown up. Is that what happens?
Or maybe they just told me it shut down.
Oh, it's burnt to the ground, mate.
Sorry.
It's not there anymore.
You're there throwing a house party. No one shows up. Not even a gathering.
Another house party for one.
That's Wolverhampton, probably.
That was longer than... Not a city, but the largest of the 32 London boroughs, but no one thinks it's London. That's pretty much Bromley in a nutshell.
That's it, in a nutshell.
Nice. The largest of the boroughs, but if you say, oh, which part of London are you from? Bromley. Well, that's not really. Come on, you... I said, yeah, this is Southeast London. Then what's your postcode? BR1. There we go. Yeah, fair enough, mate. Fair enough. Kent won't have us. London won't have us. We are the Midlands of London.
I like that.
That's why I
We're all Midlanders.
That's why I get on with you guys, because we are people who are out of sorts
nomads.
Geographically. We live in a place that no one is willing to take ownership of, apart from the people who actually live in it.
What does Bromley bring to the table?
Its size. H.G. Wells.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Now we're talking.
Hello, G. Wells was
science
his full name.
Fiction.
Science fiction, yeah.
The birth of science fiction, Bromley.
The birth of science fiction. There was, for a long time, there was a big mural of H.G. Wells trotting along, like the Punch cartoon of H.G. Wells with like the tripods behind him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And then they got rid of it.
They got rid of it. They didn't like it. Didn't like it. It was an eyesore.
David Bowie?
Yes, sort of. He was certainly kicking about. And also, the birth of jungle music as well. Jungle.
Oh my God. So Bromley and jungle is massive.
Bromley and jungle is massive. And when David Bowie...
That's where it came from.
And when David...
Yeah, they just nipped off the Bromley and at the top. And then, well, once jungle really kicked off, they were like, well, we'll play down Bromley's songs.
Maybe that's what Jungle is Massive is all about.
It's because it's all over Bromley.
That's true.
And Bromley's huge.
Could it ever be Jungle is the largest of the 32 London boroughs?
It's less beefy, but it's good.
They went with that first.
Can we record it? Can we record a jungle song? Clarky, what are your LTJ Bookham style skills?
I
think he was technically drum and bass, but... Are you a jungler? Could you jungle?
A part of jungle is the... That's that bit, isn't there? They have a lot of the high bits in there.
Oh, I don't really know.
Jungle is massive. It's like that kind of... Jungle. And I'm back to my chimp again. But like there is that certainly like a wicked... Like in the style, there's a lot of that.
It was,
which I feel like is lacking in other dance areas.
Quite a lot of quite intense drum beats as well.
Yeah.
It wasn't just your classic boom. Boom, boom, ch, was it?
And
they didn't go
classic.
For that. That is your absolute classic.
That's dance music.
Boom, boom, ch, boom, ch, boom, boom, ch.
I said a hip, a hop, a hip, boom,
yeah.
To the
hip. See, it works.
That's it, yeah. No, it's a lot more frantic in the jungle.
Yeah, it's
more... Yeah, there we go.
Welcome to Bromley.
And ladies and gentlemen, Mr. David Bowie.
I've been kicking about, mate.
Wow, I can't believe we finally got to use that David Bowie sample we've been waiting to drop in. We interviewed him after a five-a-side football game, didn't we? Right. Saying, what have you been up to, David?
Goals in Bromley.
I've been kicking about, mate.
So how long did you have Bowie for? Not long enough?
Well, I think he went to Bromley Technical College. Now, for years, I thought moving through Market Square... was referring to Bromley Market Square in the song 5 Years, but I don't think it is. I think it's like Bedford or...
Did you used to move through Market Square listening to that thinking...
Of course I did.
Me and you, DB.
Yeah, of course I did.
Oh, that's great.
There's now a really bad painting of him by the Loos in the Glades.
I look forward to them painting over that.
Yeah,
as, well.
As soon as they realise...
Every little bit of history, just...
Who's this guy? Hanif Qureshi wrote The Buddha of Suburbia, kind of about Bromley, Beckenham, that kind of area.
Yeah.
What else? What are other... Charles Darwin lived there for a bit.
Here we go.
Darwin's
bringing all the main players.
Good stuff. I don't know any of this for Wolverhampton.
Slade, Catlin Moran.
Oh, yes. First ever
you trade Catlin Moran in Wolverhampton? Well, she's a lovely writer. Why would you do such a thing? Sure, she said some slightly dodgy stuff about the LGBT community, but that's not no reason to murder her. Who apart from Slade, because obviously the Slade rooms, that's where we've played.
Don't say apart from Slade. List all four members of Slade, because we're going to need...
Can we do this now?
Noddy Holders from Wolverhampton.
Noddy Holder.
Dave Hill from Wolverhampton. The drummer of Slade
Slade's drummer.
The bass player.
The bass player from Slade is from Wolverhampton. Oh. All of those people are from Wolverhampton.
Who else at the top? There must be other... Jasper Carrot, is he Brum?
Birmingham.
He's Birmingham, unfortunately.
Yeah. Lenny Henry's Lake District.
He's Dudley.
No, Black Country, yeah. It's not Lake District.
The Lake District. Lenny in the Lakes. I can't wait to see it.
I'd commission that.
I tell you what, listen, if BBC Four is listening, and I know they are.
They always are.
They always are.
Of course they are.
Could you please commission Lenny in the Lakes? It's about time Lenny Henry was where he belongs, the Lake District. Boating around, looking at some foliage, and doing his impression of David Bellamy.
It must be a funny old gig, those shows. Because obviously, when you're on the crew... You're the sound guy on Lenny on the Lakes.
Yeah.
And on the first day...
Fingers crossed one day we all will be.
Well, that's your life, isn't it? It's like, you think about, like, I don't know, what's the name of, you know, like, Portillo on Trains, whatever it is, right? On the first day, you go up to the catering table and, like, you're vying for the same croissant.
I think the catering table's probably on Portillo on Trains, the buffet car.
Yeah, okay.
If they've got a table, someone's not doing their job, because if they stood by a table, and the train's left.
And with Lenny on the Lakes, it's like...
You just have to lean out the window and grab
the catering
a
deck or whatever.
Sure. So, I mean, I think more likely Lenny on the Lakes, they might have a unit base where they've got a little bit of catering. Yeah. So they arrive at the unit base.
And day one, you go into the
same... I tell you what
same,
I like about this, you're really painting a picture.
Yeah. You must like, and like, even Portillo on Trains, it's like, it's before they've started filming, it's kind of like the planning meeting, get the crew in, let's get it all sorted. We've put on a spread. It's not a dinner party. It's a gathering.
It's a TV record,
it's not
guys.
A Clarky size buffet. It's not the Clarky Christmas buffet.
Sure.
Famously, three buffets.
Sometimes panic with a buffet. You're like, it's finger food. Is this going to last?
How many fingers have we got in this enough? Place? Yeah.
Yeah. They've cut their cloth according to the budget.
Sure.
There's a tray of pan au chocolat.
Okay, yeah.
Or as Portillo quips, train au chocolat. And everyone goes, oh, God, this is going to be a long series. You know what I mean?
Train au chocolat works better written down. So hats off to you for saying it out loud.
No, but that's the way Portillo works.
Sure.
And so you're in the room.
Don't shoot the messenger.
So that's what I'm saying. You're in the room and Portillo says, oh, thanks for the pan au chocolat. Or should I say, train au chocolat. And you kind of think to yourself, oh, that doesn't really work. And then you both reach for the final croissant. And there's like a tug on the croissant. And he kind of eyeballs you and takes it. It's a big move.
Ooh,
but so he's a big player. He's a status player.
So he's not gone like Lady and the Tramp, where you just start eating either end.
So you're telling me he's...
That's a different proposition. We'll get around to that in a minute.
Okay, great.
Which, with Michael Portillo, very sexy.
Where you fall in love with Michael Portillo, but you're also working on a show. That,
yes.
That's different.
Okay.
So he's already eaten a train of chocolat.
No, he's quipped about the train of chocolat.
He's quipped about the train of chocolat, but gone for the croissants.
Yeah.
The King's Cross on St Pancras.
Here we go. He's lining that up.
He's
already lining that up. In fact, that's the whole scene. So that's the scene, right? You arrive, you're the new sound guy on Portillo on Trains. The first thing you hear is him saying...
All right, where do you want this boom mic, guys?
All right, lad. Put that down.
All right.
Thanks for the train au chocolat, everyone. You know, like pan au chocolat. And then you nip for the croissant and you get it to croissant. And then he eyeballs you. There's like a tug on the croissant.
Okay, yeah.
He pulls the croissant away and says... King's croissant, St Pancras, anyone? And then takes a big bite.
So by anyone, he means me.
And you know you're working on this show.
Right.
For 6 months.
Yeah.
You have to follow him all over Europe.
We're doing the Trans-Siberian
this
time, aren't
we? He's giving you the immediate arsehole.
Yeah.
That's a... And you're... You're just there, aren't you? Listening to Portillo.
Yeah. That's a big trying story. To think of about a pun for muffins.
constantly trying to top him.
Yeah.
If on Lenny of the Lakes, you have to follow Lenny into the toilet after he's done a real big one.
Into the honey wagon?
What?
They call the toilet on a set a honey wagon.
Do they?
Yeah.
We clearly haven't spent a lot of time on set, Barry.
Because we discussed this at his dinner parties with people who spend time on set.
My last dinner party was, and this is going to embarrass you, it was Portillo and Lenny.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
We were doing a production of Mice and Men.
No, that is bold casting.
Happy to do it, guys. Happy to do some bold casting. I was playing what's her name? Is it Candy? I could play one of the little rabbits, actually.
Yeah, bring it to life.
And then Lenny breaks my neck. Oh, bloody hell.
Oh, bloody hell. Classic dinner party.
Because you know Lenny, he will go method. You're the third rabbit this week. Funny then, two shows in a matter day.
God, imagine that. You cast Lenny in Mice of Men and he insists on killing the rabbit. You've already sold all your tickets. Do you let him continue?
I think you simply can't, can you? Because you're gonna have Peter outside every time. Peter Rabbit. Not Peter Mandelson.
He was one behind Portillo for the part.
You're gonna have Peter, the animal rights activist, going, well, every time they kill a rabbit on stage, that can't be it, can it?
They wouldn't have to know. Oh. Lenny takes you to one side and says, listen, don't go in there, give it 5 minutes. Give the honey wagon five. But also, I'm going to kill it on stage every night, make it look real. People will think it's some kind of genius kind of prop. Put it this way.
Will they think it's a genius prop?
Yeah. Like, look, when you saw the old, what was the Sam Mendes boy? There was a goose, wasn't there?
There was a goose.
A live goose and then a dead goose.
In the ferryman.
In the ferryman.
Yeah, but they took the goose away.
Oh, yeah.
Then brought back a dead goose.
No, so the one they brought back. They took the goose away, killed it, and brought it back. But you assumed it was a clever prop. That's the genius of Mendes.
Why do you want to kill an animal on stage?
Exactly. That's what we're saying to Lenny.
He's got a good point.
I mean, that's the question.
He's got a good point.
All right, Peter.
It's hard to come back to that one. Why would you want to kill an animal on stage? Exactly. I tell you what, you've painted me into a corner there, so I guess I now have to go and kill an animal. Ever killed an animal, Parry?
That's a very strong question.
Thanks, mate. Clarkie?
No. We had chickens for a short amount of time, and they did. One of them got killed by a fox, and they kind of said that you're probably best off kind of
getting rid of them,
killing and eating the other one because it's a bit traumatized. It won't be able to go to a farm anywhere.
Oh no!
But we couldn't do it.
Couldn't do it. And was it okay?
It was in the end. Yeah, we found someone who'd take it.
Oh my God. I don't know what I was expecting from the... I don't know what I was expecting from the question, have you killed an animal?
Keep it light, mate.
But you know what?
A fly?
I wasn't expecting that.
Never done it. But the opportunity was there. That's what I'm saying. Could have done.
Sad, what about mice? Have you ever had to kill a mouse?
No, I've never killed a mouse.
No.
I've had mouse dealt with, and I feel bad about it, but...
Hitman.
Yeah. We've got in a mouse hitman. Shot the fuck out of my flat.
The wolf.
And
was it Lenny?
The mouse fox. Never came back. What I've realised now is now I've got a cat, the mice just sort of don't really bother you anymore. Because they smell the cat and that's it. But no, I've never killed an animal. But I tell you what, I would love to move the conversation somewhere else. Is that okay? And you know what? I hold my hands up. 100% my fault. But sometimes when you're just riffing away, you're coming up with new stuff to talk about, you think... Here's an avenue we haven't explored before on
Amen.
Our podcast.
Amen, brother.
Have it's you killed?
We're all snuffling for truffles, aren't we?
Anyway, speaking
you
of
killed a pig.
House meeting. How do they make bread with no wheat in?
House meeting.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Let's move the conversation on, because I've got another question I wanted to ask you.
Have you ever killed a person?
Have you ever killed a child?
Funny you should ask, Crosby.
Have you ever have a gathering gone wrong where you need to dispose of a body? It happens. It has happened before. It will happen again. Because, of course, famously, that you know, a lot of dinner parties end in murder, which is... Yeah. That's where the game Cluedo comes from.
Do you think that would be like a good reality TV show where it's like...
Oh, like a battle royale.
You present three minor celebrities with bodies, human bodies, that like people would have donated. So don't look... So like, you know, like you donate...
Don't look what? Sorry.
You know, you donate...
I'm horrified at the idea of showing showing Russell Grant a corpse.
Sorry, listen.
Sorry, mate. If I'm too sensitive. Sorry for my bloody slight snowflake.
That is an audience. That look was the look of an audience turning on their tellies, going, oh my God, am I going
to
watch this?
I locked it. My heart's going 10 to the dozen.
I mean, and that is what I want when you look at on the front of the Radio Times. Instead of donating your body to science...
That's not hitting on the front of the radio.
Listen, instead of donating your body to science, you donate it to entertainment.
Okay. Okay. So a bit like the Body Worlds exhibition.
Exactly that.
The guy who plasticised all those bodies.
And I bet you're going to get lots of people who are... Now, you know, there's people who are going to want their 15 minutes of fame after they're dead.
Yeah.
So, like, part of the show is you profile who they were. Oh, hang on. No, I'm not sure about that.
No.
Anyway.
I think if you're going to have... Okay. Wait. So what's the background to this story? So we've got our three celebrities. We've got Rusty Lee. Shows up.
We've got Lenny Henry. We've got Michael Portillo.
Oh, okay.
Rick Stein.
Rick Stein's show.
And Rusty Lee's been thrown to the...
And Rusty Lee and Russell Grant. So we've got actually quite a lot of celebs.
too many.
Possibly too many.
We could pair them up.
Rusty, darling. Rusty. You're going to hate me for this, but you've been taken off pencil. I'm so sorry, Rusty. I'm so sorry.
But I was on the front of the Radio Times.
That's a great Rusty Lee impression.
I think I judged that just right.
I'll tell you what. Better than one you could have done.
That's what I'm going to say.
Parry. I stand by that. I back you on that one. I back you on your Rusty Lee impression there, mate.
The thing I would say is these people have consented to have their bodies on screen.
Sure. So that, it's like a donor card.
Exactly right.
One of the things you can put...
Are you facing the end? Do you want to be involved in an exciting Channel 4, you know, contact our team?
We're all facing the end. If you're a sort of fan of Naked Attraction...
Yeah, exactly.
Sort of... You know, and like, so what's it going to be? Is it going to be an autopsy?
It's going to be like Hunted. Hunted meets Shallow Grave.
Oh.
Right? Michael Portillo.
This is really
Everyone walks into their flat and there is a dead body. They have to dispose of the body.
They don't know they're on it. It's a reality show. They don't know what they're on it.
Well, that's quite, yeah, that, you know, like that. It's crafted reality. So they're followed by a little mini camera guy. You've got to dispose of the body.
Is it me? I thought I was working on sound. Listen, you're short enough to work on the cameras.
Until I talked about early doors.
Basically, you can fit in a shallow grave. That's all we care. You lie on your back in a shallow grave. We throw some dirt on top of you.
Yeah. So it's Hunted meets Shallow Grave. Five minor celebrities are given a corpse to dispose of. Who gets caught? How do they go about it?
Who gets caught and who
gets
caught?
It's true crime. You think about true... Yeah. Don't get corpse. So it is a working title. Sure. So it was going to be the title until I saw the look in your eye. So then, you know, what are their methods? How do they do it? What's going on? It's Goodfellas. It's Shallow Grave. It's Hunted. You're watching. Don't get corpse.
Don't get corpse. You know what? It's a fantastic idea. Can we just ask, and I don't know the answer to this, what's the legality?
Have you ever killed an animal?
Have you ever killed... Guys, can I ask...
Seriously, I don't mean to pray.
Can I ask, have you ever fucked an animal?
Oh, well, funny.
Now here's a bit of light relief.
Yes, a mouse. Now, can I just ask, I don't know what the legality is. Now, even if the person has given their consent for their body to be dealt with, however, you know, however the producers see fit.
Yes.
What's the legal situation with just carting a corpse around?
Weekend at Bernie's.
Weekend at Bernie's stars, what I'm thinking. Are we able, you know, like, so if you see Lenny Henry and he's strolling down the street and he's got a guy who looks a little bit loosey-goosey and is wearing a pair of shades.
Yeah. Well, this is all part of the fun. If he chooses to do that, someone's going to call him in, he's going to get caught, off you go. It's hunted. It's shallow grave.
Which Weekend at Bernie's is it where he comes alive every time he hears Mambo music?
I think by that point, they'd probably jump the shark.
I think they jumped the shark before they made the first movie. It's one of the rare instances of a franchise jumping the shark before it began.
It's Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Is it Weekend at Bernie's 2?
Yeah.
Love it.
I mean, that's the little twist that they were looking for, isn't it?
He's
that's
back.
The pitch in the
Bernie's
meeting.
Bernie's back.
There you go. Great. Bernie's back, and this time he dances to Mambo music.
So we've got...
Treat yourself.
You've got to. You simply must. You've got to.
Certainly if we're going to pitch this show.
So you've got, and they're not famous people, the corpses.
Well, I mean, that's another twist, but I don't think so.
You can't have a sort of...
I mean, that's the flip reversal is members of the public have to dispose of recently deceased minor celebrities.
That would be season 4, wouldn't it? Be the celebrity...
You do the celebrity don't get corpse.
The celebrity don't get corpse.
Celebrity don't get corpse.
With all real people trying to get rid of the celebrities.
Yeah. And they're all the celebrities who were in the first series. contestants.
Who just couldn't deal with life after they'd done.
So part of the contract of Don't Get Corpse is you sign away a waiver that says, I'm going to be a contestant, I'm going to dispose of this body, but when I pass away, I have to be one of the bodies in Don't Get Corpse.
Okay.
It's the circle of life. That's how we explain it to them.
Elton John's involved.
He's soundtracking it.
I love it. So the camera follows them around, and who's after them? The police?
Our police.
Our police. Oh. This sounds a little bit like vigilante.
Like, there's like Hunted, isn't it?
Right.
So in Hunted, there's a team of the hunters, and they're all on it.
Sure.
The police are on, the police know.
The hunters are all on it.
The hunters are having a good time.
Sure.
They're having a gathering.
Turn into a house party.
They haven't slept in days. And then therefore, you know, it all works out.
that's how you end a pitch meeting, you guys. You get into the deep water and then go, and that's how it all works out.
The great thing about that, no idea how he ended the sentence, but no one could tell. When he got to the end, I thought, So that's how it all works out.
I bet Lenny will head to the lakes because he knows it so well.
Of course.
Stones
in the pocket.
You think he's hiding in plain sight?
First place everyone's going to look for Lenny is
Lenny lakes. You've got it. When I think of Lenny, whenever Lenny I think of Lenny, which I often do, I think of a Premier Inn in the Lake District.
Yeah, so he's having the absolute time.
They're going to flip over that incredibly comfortable mattress.
Yes.
And they're going to find a corpse underneath it
with
Lenny huddling next to the corpse for warmth.
Listener dear, where's the weirdest place you've ever seen Lenny Henry? Let us know.
Yeah, where's the weirdest place you've seen a corpse? Let us know. Have you ever killed a man? Let us know.
A classic police sting.
It's been a long con, hasn't it?
They pose.
Podcasting since 2011, just to see if we can draw a few of these naughty faces out.
We've built up a web of trust with our listeners.
Exactly. I don't think we have, actually, to be honest.
The opposite.
Knowing our listeners.
A web of distrust.
That is the opposite.
Is a shoot?
Go on. What's the opposite of a web?
A shoot?
Why is it a shoot? What do you mean a shoot?
Well, a web, a shoot, C-H-U-T-E.
Oh, yeah, I know what it... Yeah, I get it. So like a funnel. Like a kind of like a tube.
Is a chute a funnel?
No, I didn't mean funnel. I meant tube. Like a flume.
A flume. The flume of distrust.
The flume of distrust.
That's the opposite of the web of trust.
I'm very lost.
I tell you what, that could be the name of our celebrity hunters.
The flume of distrust.
They've got their corpse. They've got a 45-minute head start. But
and
here comes
being pursued.
The flume of distrust. Down a flume.
Yeah, that's the opening shot.
Was that Mambo
that's
music?
That's the theme.
Don't play Mambo music or the corpses come alive.
This is Netflix.
This is Netflix.
We go over Channel 4. We go
Ladies straight. And gentlemen, you're listening to Netflix.
We go straight to Netflix.
We go straight to Netflix. Because I think, you know what? The thing is nowadays, telly has become too tame, right? And you need controversy. You need shock value. There's a reason Naked Attraction is as popular as it is. It's because it's a shocking bit of telly. People getting their giblets out on the TV, you know, to be rated by other people.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's... My friend, by the way, works on Naked Attraction as a... Well, I won't say what he works on, what position he works in, but suffice to say, he's very small cameraman. no, he works on it and he says... The smelliest set you could ever hope to meet.
Oh, God.
Really is. You don't want to be near their craft table.
Oh, my God.
Really, really smelly. But anyway, the reason telly is going down the spout at the moment...
Oh, yes.
Down the flume.
Down the flume. And around
Distrust
the funnel. The reason it's going is because there's no controversy anymore. There's no big headline. There's nothing for the Daily Mail to get angry about, to get upset about. This is what we're giving them. We're giving them controversy.
Yeah.
This is punk rock. I expect that when this comes on, someone's going to kick in their telly like when Bill Grundy interviewed the Sex Pistols.
Here's the pitch meeting.
This is what it's going to be like.
Yes.
You know what? I am absolutely all about it. I love it. Because people think we're just three nice lads.
Oh.
You know what? There's a dark side to us. Yes. There's a real flume of distrust to us.
There's a real flume of distrust. We've all killed animals.
We've all killed animals. Sure we have. We'll kill one right now.
That was a cricket.
I just saw his little face. I couldn't do it.
Jiminy, no.
But I genuinely think this is a great idea.
Yeah.
This is what's going to get us back where we belong. Netflix.
This is going to get us to shut down another channel.
You know what? We've not been on Netflix for a while.
No, it's a good point.
Not been on Netflix for a while, and I feel like Netflix, if you're listening, which I know they are,
they always are.
Imagine if it turned out Alan and Louise, Clarkie's parents, ran Netflix.
Oh my God, here we go. They're only in the other room.
We can ask them.
Let's get them in. No, I think this is it.
Yeah, I like it.
House meeting!
The socks only useful for putting your feet in.
House meeting!
Whoa, well, there we go.
Wowee.
That episode went into some places that I don't think any of us can be proud of.
No. It was dark, but it was fertile.
It was absolutely.
Yes.
You know what? Like the soil of a shallow grave.
Oh,
very much so. Strong stuff.
Very strong stuff.
we need a cup of tea after that.
We
listener,
absolutely
dear.
Need a cup of tea after that.
Yes, but also we need you to leave some reviews for us.
Do you know what? That was absolutely seamless.
Tell us what else you think is dark and fertile.
Oh dear.
a lot of looks in the studio here, listening here. Tell us what else you think is dark and fertile. Leave us 5 stars. That will do it. We've had some lovely reviews come down the tube. Let's have a look. Anyone want to read one of those out now?
Yes, I've got one from Matthew Wood that said 6 mangas out of 7 deadly chairs.
Thank you very much to Matthew Wood.
Thanks, mate.
This one is from Pummel Horse. It gives us 5 stars and says, tattoos you must all get. I promise I will never do ASMR on mic ever again. Sorry about that. Yeah. But we make no promises. I cannot promise me to never do it again. It's absolutely disgusting. Dear, I cannot promise.
Here's a story that has a real lovely twist at the end that really made me laugh.
I love this. A bit of M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, Blambin. Blambin sent
what up, Blambin?
In. Crutch drop, he said.
I like it already.
I mean, crutch drop
is
my...
crutch drop your jungle name?
It's my dance move. Yeah. My jungle name. I'm dropping with your crutch.
Can you see with your crutch?
Yeah, well, there you go.
Crutch drop.
I've been a fan of this podcast for a long while. I was in the audience at the Phoenix, and please do come along to some of our live records.
Absolutely. You're always welcome. Look at our Twitter to find out where we're playing live.
For one recording with my then new girlfriend, who is from Spain, who had broken her foot and was using crutches. We slowly made it down the stairs, one step at a time, then found a seat on the aisle so the crutches wouldn't get in anyone's way. As I was explaining to her what we were about to see, one crutch fell from the back of the seat to the floor. Before either of us could reach to retrieve this crutch, a kindly gentleman came from nowhere to sweep it up and hand it back. "Do you know who that was?" I said. "No," she replied. "That was Tom Parry." We saw the show. Needless to say, she didn't follow a single word and hasn't listened to the podcast before or since. But it's a 5 stars from me.
It's a 5 stars. I mean, thanks, mate.
Can't win them all.
Thanks very much, Crutch Dropper. Is that his name?
I mean, it is now.
So
yes, leave us a review. And if you enjoy the podcast at the moment, please get on Patreon and show your support. We've had some beautiful Patreon support recently. It means we can keep on sticking out weekly content, which we're really enjoying doing. And stay tuned for the Patreon neighborhood roll call at the end of the show.
This episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team! Cheers, everyone!
Bye!
Listener dear, remain seated and please stand. And salute for the Patreon neighborhood watch robber!
Tie my laces, Miss Cressida Claces.
History's favourite Adolf, Hugh Randolph.
I think we've got to apologise to Hugh there. Hugh.
Oh, mate.
I'm sure you're a good man.
Hugh knew.
And if we went back in time, we would have your baby, not kill you as a baby.
Nourish you.
We'd nestle you to the bosom.
There's nobody nicer. Adolf, no. There's nobody nicer. Dylan Spicer.
He's up to no good. It's Stephen Greenwood.
Let's have a good, clean fight. Play fair. When you beat up Gordy McNair.
Don't beat him. Try and be nice to our patrons.
What are you saying, fam? It's James Abraham.
Yes, I'd love a pint of cider. It's Paul Bulmer.
Yes! Yes, you live and you learn. Unless you're that fuckwit, Tom Fern.
No, Tom, you've got to be nice. Tom, please, Tom, you are one nice of our... let's have a look at how much he donated. Yeah, we've got to be nice to him. He's donated a lot of money. Listen.
Got to be nice to
you've
the
You've
got
to be nice to Tom Fern. Tom Fern.
Come on.
How much do you earn?
Come on.
Up that Patreon donation, you fuckwit.
Renowned pervert. It's Sarah Beth Gilbert.
The rumours are true.
He's not won gold, he's not won bronze, he's won silver, it's Jordan Elver.
That classic arsehole, Matthew Cole.
Oh dear. Yes. He's very winsome, it's Bruce Simpson.
Is that London calling? Well, it should be, because on the phone is Peter Baldwin. Sorry, Peter. Good. If there's any consolation, we all got nosebleeds during that one.
We really like the way your bum sits, Will Tom sits.
Oh, nice. Whenever his dog fouls the pavement, he's right there with a plastic bag. And in his other hand, a pooper scooper. It is, of course, Mr. Tom Hooper.
Well, we all reveres Ruth Viveres.
It's true, we do. I think it's Viveres. Ruth Viveres.
That concludes the Neighbourhood Watch Patreon.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.